Good morning, everyone. It's Carrie Peters. I'm so excited to be here with you today. And I know there is so much on your mind and so much going on in your world and so many questions that I see that you have that have been written into the webcast, and people have hands up already, which is great, by the way. If you are new to this Q&A call or new to our training, I'm so happy for you to be here. This is the office hours call where you get to connect to myself and to Stacey live, and we spend 2 hours working with you on any challenge that you might have, whether it's something in the curriculum or something that you're trying to apply to your life personally, whether it's about business or personal growth or delivering the coaching program or something in Pillar One. We're here to help. Stacey's actually a little under the weather today, so she is going to be joining us, but a little late and maybe a little quiet, which takes some time to feel better. So we'll send her healing wishes. And I just want to share that Stacey and I last week came back from Scottsdale, Arizona. We were there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at this beautiful resort, and we were leading a retreat for the HMBA Graduate Intensive, which is our graduate training that you can take and don't have to take after the Become a Health Coach training. It's there for you if you want to continue to deepen your studies and accelerate your progress. And so we were with a group of about 100 students there, and I just have to tell you that this applies to you as much to them, just blown away by the level of courage and commitment and dedication that it takes when you're entering into a new career. I had to go have that too. Stacey had that as well. And it's something to keep in mind that when you're doing something that is new and somewhat different anyway, health coaching is relatively new. There are not necessarily a lot of signposts or mile markers out there, but it's getting more and more that way. But as it is, you're having to explain to family and friends what it is you're doing, what that is, and sometimes explain it to yourself. Why am I doing this again? Especially when you're not necessarily sure you see the full picture, how everything's going to roll out. And I know it can be very challenging when you're in a place where you just don't understand every single step and how every single thing is going to work. Because I've definitely been there myself many times. When I was sitting where you are sitting, I was there too. I was wondering, how am I going to turn this into a living? And am I ever going to really be able to do that? And are people really going to be paying me to coach them? And is this really going to work out? Or is this like a pipe dream that I'm living in? So I just want to assure you, for those of you who may have that question this morning, that there actually comes in a level of, you know, faith. And this may seem, I don't mean it to sound trite, sort of like, oh, well, just have faith and everything will be okay, kind of like dismissively. I mean faith like as in digging down deep and believing in yourself and in the part of yourself that knows that this is the right path. That even when all the steps aren't revealed, that part of you is correct. It was the same for me at that time. You know, years ago when I was in the middle of my health coach training, I thought, this is crazy. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I'll be able to figure this out. I don't know if it's going to work. And yet a part of me was like, keep going, keep going, keep going. I had no idea, no idea that 11 years later we'd be on this call together. And that's why it's so important for you to keep listening to that part of you that says, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, because there are people in your future calling you forward. And that may sound like a little woo-woo, but Stacey and I will say sometimes at live trainings, and if you want to experience a live training with us, there is one coming up, HCI Live, that's part of your investment in Become a Health Coach. And that's November 3rd to the 5th in San Diego. And I believe that seat deposit posts are up in Facebook pages and such, and will be in your student site. If for some reason you're having trouble locating where is that, then you can simply email support@healthcoachinstitute.com, or you can post and tag them on the Facebook page, and they will be sure to get you that link right away so you can reserve a seat. So what we often say at the live trainings is that desire is a memory of your future self. So if you were to imagine for a moment that your future self sort of knows what's coming for you, it's probably more than you've imagined for yourself, but yet it kind of is whispering back to you like, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. You know, it's interesting, as I was pulling an oracle card for today, the one that I got was the mystery. And now for those of you who don't know, maybe this is your first office call, office hours call, I have a tendency toward the woo-woo, a tendency, a little bit. And I use these oracle cards. I was trained with an intuitive coach a few years ago named Colette Baron Reed, who is wonderful. And I use her oracle cards just to help me understand what is the sense that might be going on, what might be going on for the group, what might be going on that would need to be highlighted or pointed out or that would be useful to know going forward. And today the card that came up was the mystery. And this is a card that directs you into the sort of unknowable place of your journey. And it's the place on the map when you're going from where you are to where you want to be, where all things are created but not yet formed. So that it's reminding you that this isn't simply like, universal forces are at work, which can sound simplistic or sort of like a false comfort to some. It's really actually saying that there is a field, a place where your desire and the desire of the universe is met, and there are forces that we can never fully understand or control that are weaving around us to help us fulfill our purpose. The thing about this, though, is that we have to be humble because we can't control how the mystery unfolds. And, oh, man, do we want to. I want to control it so badly. I want to know every single piece of it and control it so I can feel safe in every moment. But all the forces that are at work really don't reveal themselves on our command necessarily. They reveal themselves when the time is right. And you can tell this because when you look back into events in your life and you have the benefit of hindsight, you can see patterns and you can see reasons why things happened the way they did, although at the time you may not have seen that. So 5 years from now, you'll look back to now and go, oh, so this is why this happened the way that it did. This is why that happened. But now when you're in it, it's total trust and deep faith in yourself and in your purpose and in that small voice inside that's saying, yes, 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 yes. It may seem crazy, but yes. So, and to remember that progress on your way, especially in this part of the journey where you're like, I don't know where I'm going. The progress, think of it kind of like a spiral where you're going forward, and then it seems like you're turning around and going backward, but a spiral actually goes up and around and back, and then up and around and back, and then up and around and back. It's always reaching upward. So although it may seem for a time like you're not making progress, you are making progress. I think I want to give you the analogy of a tree. And I remember I had a teacher who said to me, who was so much further along in his career than I was in mine. And he said, but all you see are the fruits, meaning the leaves of the tree. You're not seeing the roots, the ones that are deep down underground that took years and years and years to grow and build a beautiful root network to hold up this steady, steady tree. So what we are all wanting is the leaves. We want them now. And what you're doing is you're planting the root system. And the root system is what will hold up the steady, beautiful tree with these big, 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 gorgeous, tons of leaves that you'll be growing over the years. And without that root system, that tree would fall right over. And we don't want that. We want a big, strong tree. So everything that you're doing now is building that root system, building that tree, and will grow into the leaves that you so desire. So the purpose of this message is to trust the mystery and keep going. And that for some of us is like almost impossible. For others of us, we're like, yes, of course, trust. But ultimately what this is saying is you are on the correct path. It's just that everything cannot be known in this moment. And when that happens in your life, regardless of whether it's this training or any other time in your life, that's when faith comes in. And your connection to that which is greater than you becomes so important. Now, I like to pull a second card just to see, well, what else do we need to know about this? And the second card I pulled was the dragon, and this is about power and strength. And this dragon, very powerful, very strong, and it symbolizes true power and reminding you that an infinite source of power is actually not found within our personalities. There's not enough, like, drive in us or in our personalities to fuel what we want to fuel, and that power resides really deep within your soul. That's where true power is. So when you call on that spiritual power and that strength, there's a vast resource to strengthen your resolve. So remember that spirit from the realm of the soul, or that power from the realm of the soul, that can never be broken or exhausted. So that true strength is always there for us. And then this is also a signal to watch for the next step, and it will appear. And there's a strong, strong request here to look at the big picture. And the final card I pulled was the eagle, which is when you're soaring above, there is a bigger picture. And that when we're down below, we get caught up in the tiny aspects of everything, and that's okay. But it's a reminder to also soar above. So there's this balance that you're going to be learning here as you build your career as a health coach, whether you are working for someone else, whether you are creating your own business. The skill that you want to develop, and may have already developed in other areas of your life and just haven't necessarily applied it to health coaching yet, the skill is to be able to look at what's right in front of you, at the details, and take the next step that presents itself. And then also sometimes soar up above and look at the big picture and go, okay, here's what's happening. In 6 months, I'm going to get my certification, and here are some options. I don't know all the details yet, but I do understand that this is the bigger picture. And then you drop down again to the now, the immediate, and you say, okay, so what is my next step? And then you take that step. And as you take those teeny small steps, occasionally you soar up to see the bigger picture and then back down to the small steps. And then soar up to see the bigger picture, and then go back down to the small steps. You know, I'm sure you have experience in your life where you have done this, where you've gone, okay, I'm focusing on the small details I need to focus on, and occasionally I'm looking at the bigger picture. And doing that here will really help you as well, because this is a journey, and it would be great if you could skip all of the travel and just get to the destination. But ultimately, it's the travel that builds you into the coach you are meant to become. So if you don't have the journey, you won't have the growth that you need to be who you are being asked to be by your future client. All right. So that's the message for today. And for those of you who feel like, yeah, this is really not my cup of tea, I totally understand, and that's okay. There may be a nugget in there for you, and you may think, I'm just going to wait until we get to the Q&A portion, which is starting now, and that's totally fine. So let's go ahead when we begin by sharing your name and where you are in the training. And I really would love to hear what's going well for you in your self-care, how you're taking care of yourself. And then I'd love to hear what's going well for you in the training. And I would also love to hear your question. So I'll prompt you through this. If this is your first time, don't worry about it. I'm gentle. And again, it'll be your name, where you are in the training, and something that's going well in your self-care, something that's going well in the training, and your question. So let's go ahead and go to last four digits. 6719. Oh, and by the way, I'm sorry, before we go to that phone number, just if you're on the line and you'd like to raise your hand to talk with me live, you can press *2 to raise your hand, *2. You can also type questions into the webcast. I'll usually go back and forth between live calls and webcast questions, and we actually have some email questions as well. So you'll press star 2 to raise your hand. And I think we were going to 6719. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. This is Glenda.
How are you? Hi, Glenda. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. I really didn't expect to get on this. Super excited.
Surprise!
I know. Like, just shows meant to be. And I don't remember what you had asked, what we are supposed to be.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, that's okay. I'll walk you through it. So where are you in the training?
For me, I met you last year at Spotlight, and I'm a graduate of IIN, and super, super excited to be going through this. It's right where I need to be, everything.
Great.
I just, yeah, really, really looking forward to this.
Have you started the Become a Health Coach training yet, Glenda? Where are you in the training?
Oh, I'm in this one on module 2, going into week 2.
So is it the first pillar then?
Pardon me?
In other words, are you in the nutrition, health, and wellness section? Where we're teaching
about
that?
Pillar 1, week 2.
Perfect. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. And
yes.
Tell me, Glenda, so you have a lot of background. What are you appreciating these days about the way you're taking care of yourself?
Self-care is so, so important, I've come to realize. For me, I am one that just gives and gives. Mm. And so it's hard for me to receive. And this, in fact, goes into the reason that I had raised my hand nervously. I was going back through the orientation, and there was some really juicy stuff in there, powerful stuff. And thank you for that. That's so awesome that before we even started, everything that you had given us. And I had a situation that really resonated with me was about the receiving. And, you know, that is so big with me, I'm finding out. And it's having such blocks. And right now I'm having a situation where I have a part-time job and I fell and I didn't feel I was deserving enough to go get help. And so now I'm having a lot of pain and I am really struggling just saying, hey, you know, I need to do workman's comp and, you know, asking for help because I'm always giving and I give myself out. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. So what would you like to have happen?
For me to have that voice, to be able to stand up and speak for my needs, I guess.
Right.
You know, because I'm not even feeling deserving. Like some of those things that you had said, you know, like don't I receive? Like, oh, they're going to think I'm selfish. And, you know, I just had started the job when I fell, and so I didn't want to make waves. But, like, I'm not worthy of getting some medical help, you know. So to be able to voice that I need help.
Yeah. Yeah. So the underlying fear with this, and when you get into pillar 3, you're going to learn something called money mirrors, a system called money mirrors. And what's interesting about money mirrors is they really apply to everything. One thing that you'll see as you're going through how we teach coaching is that really how you do one thing is how you do everything. So if you have a challenge around accepting, standing up and saying, I need XYZ in your job, that's likely happening in another area of your life as well. Does that resonate for you?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is a familiar challenge, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's great. What I think is so fantastic about that is we all have familiar challenges and patterns. Every single one of us, Stacey, myself, everyone. And the thing that I think is really one of the greatest gifts of coaching is the opportunity through your studying the craft and through coaching others to recognize what those patterns are and start to shift them. So mm-hmm. for you, you want to have the voice to stand up and speak for your needs. What do you think might happen if you were to do that in this situation with your part-time job?
What my critter brain says is that, they're not going to like that. They'll get rid of me. They'll fire me.
Then they won't like it. They'll fire you.
Yeah. Right. Right. Exactly.
Cool. Okay. So what other possibilities are there for how they might react?
Okay, they value me and they want to see me get well and healthy, and mm-hmm. it's not a problem.
Mm-hmm. So it's possible that they may not like it and they might fire you, and it's possible that they may value you and get well and want you to get well and get healthy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if it were the latter, if they were to value you and get well, value you and want you to get well and get healthy, how else will you create the experience of not being good enough? Or enough? In other words, let me say that a little differently. When okay. we have a pattern, we are going to find a way to create the feeling that drives the pattern. The feeling that drives mm-hmm. the pattern here is I'm not, other people are more important than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that is the case and you are to ask for the workers' comp and they respond well, then what? Because the belief, do you see what I'm saying? We find a way to make ourselves feel
right.
like we're not enough. So if you're doing that, if it's not working at your job and they actually do think you're enough, where else might you find a way to make sure that you're seen as not enough or not good enough or not worthy?
Oh, wow. I think on situations like this, it is projected onto my family.
Unfortunately. Great.
Unfortunately.
So wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is great. I'm giving you major virtual high fives and hugs because this is really powerful stuff for you. So you're noticing that if they're going to value you at work, then you're probably going to go home and feel that your family does not value you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yes. So this is great. So the opportunity here is to become curious about what it might be like to be comfortable with being valued.
Oh,
yeah. So, if you'd be willing, can you think of someone in your life that you look at and you say, wow, that person feels really comfortable with being valued?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have someone in mind?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Great. And is it a he? Is it a she?
She.
Okay, great. So for a moment, just imagine that you're stepping into her skin and you are sliding your fingers into her finger slots and your toes into her toe slots, and you're sort of breathing with her lungs for a moment and feeling the world with her skin and looking out at the world with her eyes for a moment. And what does she believe to be true in order to be comfortable with being valued?
That she is deserving
mm-hmm.
of what is being offered.
Mm-hmm. What else is she believing that allows her to be comfortable with being valued?
That, oh my gosh, my mind just goes blank.
Great. Oh. This is great. Wow. You are doing a fantastic job, Glenda, and it makes sense that your mind would go blank. And for those of you who are listening, the reason that this might happen with your clients, if they might go blank on occasion, is because you're asking their brain to rewire itself and think in a different way. And that can be challenging, and they might go, oh, and might have this experience of going blank, which lets you know you're kind of on the right path. So, Glenda, you're doing this exactly right.
Yay.
Yay, I've gone blank. Okay, great. So if we could take a moment to just feel back into her one more time, and we won't stay there long, but just noticing as she is, does she have a job?
She's independent, yes.
She's independent. So There are people that are valuing her, and she's comfortable with them valuing her. So if she's independent and in a particular situation where she needs to ask for something she needs, what is it that she's believing when she's asking for something that she needs?
With the confidence, she doesn't take it personal if she's asking for something and the people aren't able to you know, fulfill what she needs, and goes on to another one.
Well, that's interesting. Okay, so she doesn't take it personally if the person that she's asking is not able to fulfill her needs, then she moves on to the next person and asks again.
Or where she needs to go.
She moves on to where
she doesn't stay. If somebody says no, she doesn't stop at no. She searches for to fulfill what needs to be done.
She doesn't stop at no. She searches for what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that feel as she's doing that? What's the feeling inside?
I believe empowering, because then that's, she's not relying on somebody else to fulfill her needs, and she's able to take care of herself.
Mm. Got it. Thank you so much. And you can go ahead and step out of her and step back into yourself, and just for everyone who's listening, to reassure you that we're not doing any kind of psychic space robbing of this person. This is simply allowing, it's a technique that I'll describe in a moment. But for now, Glenda, you're doing a great job. And so let's go ahead and take that learning that you got from her, that she is deserving, that she doesn't take it personally when someone isn't able to fulfill on what she needs, and she just moves on to where she needs to go. So she doesn't stop at no, she just searches for whatever it is that she needs and believes that she will find it. And that feeling of that is empowering, and not really relying on someone else to fulfill her needs, and knowing that she can take care of herself. So knowing that, let's take that knowing and now imagine going to your part-time job and telling them about this fall and that you need to have the fall addressed via workman's comp.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question again?
Sure. So if you were to take all the learning that you got from her, the woman that you see is comfortable with being valued, and you were to take those sort of into yourself and then imagine, okay, now I'm going to imagine going to my part-time job and asking them for what I need, which is the workman's comp.
Mm-hmm.
What does that feel like for you when you imagine yourself doing that?
I feel empowered because when you were saying that, when you were repeating back what I had said, what came to mind is that with that empowerment comes the ability for me to receive. So I believe that they won't have a problem with this.
And if they do,
there's other avenues to take to be able to get the results that I need.
Correct.
Yeah.
So is this the conversation you'd like to have in the next week with your part-time job, your employer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Today, in fact.
Today. Wonderful.
Yes.
Excellent.
Today.
Thank you.
Yes.
So do you feel that you're glad that you raised your hand?
Absolutely.
Handled? Good, good. Not
absolutely.
So scary, right?
No, it's not.
It seems like it would be, but it's not.
I survived.
Yay, you survived. We need to get T-shirts for everybody. I survived. A Carrie and Steve.
Yes.
All right. Linda, thank you so much.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, Glenda, I just missed that last part.
No, I just thank you so much. I really appreciate this. It took a lot of fear out that I was generating.
Yeah. Thank you.
It took a lot.
Thank you so much. And do we have Stacey on?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I was totally swooning over that great coaching, this really beautiful work, both of you. It was great to listen.
Thank you. Well, this is a technique that Stacey taught me. She is a master of, and I am a student. And it's called advanced transformational coaching method, which you learn the foundations of the transformational coaching method in BHC, and you can go on to take the advanced training if you like in our graduate program. This is a technique called resourcing, and very simply, it's just that when your client or you, when you feel like I don't know how to stand up and speak for my needs, in Glenda's example, thank you, Glenda, then you sort of go away from yourself, take the attention away from yourself, and put it on somebody who does, and start to imagine, well, what is it that they believe? As a matter of fact, Stacey, you know what I think about? I think about actually one of the ways that I finally started investing in my business was I saw somebody charging $5,000 for their training, and it was like someone had smacked me in the head. I couldn't believe that she did that. And I actually automatically started thinking, well, wait a minute, how is she able to do that? What is she thinking and believing to be true, and how come that can't be true for me? So it's a really kind of, even though it's a somewhat advanced technique, this is something that you may even be doing naturally of looking at someone who feels confident or someone who feels empowered or someone who is able to do something you wish you could do. And the interesting thing about that resourcing exercise is that Glenda was not, all she was doing, we're using the other person to access the feelings that we have inside of us already, but we don't know we have access to. So there is a part of Glenda that feels she's deserving and that she won't take it personally if someone isn't able to fulfill on them. There is a part of her that knows she can fulfill her needs and take care of herself no matter what. She's just getting access to that part through imagining what somebody else's experience is like. Stacey, is there anything else that you would share about that technique or anything else to describe?
No, I thought that that was really great. Such a beautiful demonstration of what you can look forward to, what to come as you continue your journey even beyond BHC, just what you get to continually deepen your coaching skills. And just to realize that this is a lifelong journey. Like, you will always be studying something, whether that's advanced nutrition or whether that's deepening your coaching skills and personal growth or advancing your business skills so that your business can really support the transformational work that you want to do. So to remember that we are students of life continually, that part of this path is committing to a level of learning and personal growth. And so that's just something to look forward to. That was a very, very advanced technique, so don't feel like you're supposed to know that, or did we learn that yet, or I don't know what I'm – Carrie was just kind of going beyond the pay grade of what most of you have at this point in your training. So just relax and know that sometimes we want to reveal to you what comes a little bit later as we build the foundation, that there's many layers and nuances to coaching, and I just think that that's super exciting.
I do too, and I remember when I was, and still to this day, when I watch you coach or when I'm learning from my trainers and teachers, I always watch them sort of in amazement, like, how did you just do that? What is that? And the fact that, like, I could even learn it was amazing to me. And so for all of you, I just want to share that you absolutely can learn a level of mastery in coaching as well, and that the coaching that you are already learning and already doing is already phenomenal. Here's something important I want to tell all of you and become a health coach. So Stacey and I have been training coaches for a long time. Most of the coaches that we've trained in the previous, in the first 4 years of our business were coaches that graduated from other coaching schools. And they would come to us for advanced business and advanced coaching skills. Now, this last retreat that we just did in Scottsdale was the majority of the people in the room were actually become a health coach graduate. And can I tell you, Stacey, I'm sure you noticed this, but the caliber of coaching in that room versus people that we had trained who had gone to other schools to start is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They were amazing. We taught a super advanced sequence, and they picked it up and did it like it was no big deal. It was incredible. I was blown away. And so I just want to assure all of you and become a health coach that the foundation that you're learning here is setting you up for phenomenal coaching, so much that you may not even know it. But if you ever do practice sessions with any friends or colleagues from any other school, they're going to crap their pants and go, what did you just do? And how did you learn that? Yeah. And you're going to be real happy about that. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to last four digits, 2208.
Hi, it's Erin.
Hi, Erin.
Hey, Erin. I'm in the March group.
Okay, so that means you are in what pillar and what week?
Oh, pillar 2, I think, I haven't done it yet, but I think our session 11 is this week. I'm not sure what week it is.
That's all right. I got it. That gives me a good enough idea. And what's going well in your self-care?
Two things. My consistency with meditation has been a huge impact on my stress management, and also I think my interactions just with my family and my son, which makes a big difference when you have a little one.
Yeah.
And then what's going well for the course is I'm super excited. I actually have my first paying client as of, 3 hours ago.
Oh, my gosh! Wow.
Yeah,
that is so exciting.
It is very exciting.
Oh, my gosh. Well, do you mind sharing the investment in your program? Now, I might ask you some questions, and the only reason is because we're not asking you to see if you've done something right or wrong. You've obviously done something very well. It's more to share with the other students, like what are the possibilities, what are the options, what's working. So we like to be candid about those kinds of things, and it's not from a place of judgment or competition, but a place of, like, here's what's possible for everybody. So if you would be willing to share how you encountered this client and what investment your program. Like, sure.
Yeah, so it's actually somebody that I consider a mentor of mine. She's a craniosacral therapist and also an occupational therapist, which is what I am by education. And I started working with her a year ago, and I really credit her for my journey to be even to where I am now and being able to take this leap. And she left the hospital setting 3 years ago to start her own practice, and I just left my hospital 3 weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Doing this full time, yeah, which is, again, the other big yay to book a client since I'm not at my job anymore. But anyway, so she's kind of heard about the journey throughout, and I made my clutch coupons and took them to my session with her last week because she had offered to set them out in her office. And she texted me a few days later and said that she had just looked them over and she wanted to be one of my first clients.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, it's kind of an intimidating because I, like I said, I credit her with a lot of where I'm at right now. But
yeah,
we did our closing the deal this morning. And so I decided I'm going to kind of each month change my prices, not dependent necessarily on the number of clients. But I kind of had an idea of where I wanted to start this first month. So I said either $8.97 for the one-time fee or $3.99 for the 3 months.
Great.
And so she's doing, she actually chose the monthly.
Great.
So
well, that is fantastic.
Yeah,
this is fantastic. And the thing that you'll, for everyone on the line, the thing that you're going to notice about pricing, and just a reminder for those of you who haven't gotten to Pillar 4, which is the business and marketing training, is that the goal when you're starting out is just to be paid at all. It's not to be paid like $1 million per client. This program is $1 million. I mean, it's unusual when you have a new expertise to start getting paid. Like, that alone is a stretch and an adjustment. So
yeah.
It's not so much about what the amount is. It's more about the fact that there is an amount and someone is investing in the experience. So great job, Erin. I'm absolutely thrilled for you. And I just want to share with you one tip because I can understand what you're saying about being a little like, whoa, my mentor and I'm coaching her. It's just that the things that you'll be sharing with her, it's likely she's not experienced them before. And it's likely that she'll be really delighted with the program and that is okay, that she can be your mentor. She actually is still sort of being your mentor just as a client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really excited. I do have to say that it was harder. I could hear when I set the prices, I could hear the hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
And it took more than I thought it was going to just kind of, like, sit there and not say anything and just be okay with. I could tell she was like, oh, this is a little bit higher than what I expected her to say. I could just kind of sense that. But just to sit there and not feel like I had to justify or, you know, change what I had just said definitely took a little bit more strength than I was thinking it was going to. So it was a good experience.
Yeah, well, I applaud you for being able to do it, to just let her have her experience, and I think you'll be opening up doors for her that you may even not realize that you're opening up, just by being there in who you are and what you're offering and at the price point. It's really, the transformation has already begun. Okay, great. Yeah, so I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay. My question is actually about handouts. So I'm going a little less about the food and more into like stress and energy. And I've been doing it already with my practice clients, and I've felt very comfortable with the scripting and everything, you know, kind of adjusting where I wanted to take out more of the food pieces, and that's flowed well. And I have not done anything to adjust handouts. I have been giving them as is with my practice clients. And sometimes, you know, we talk about how maybe this one doesn't fit quite exactly with, but, you know, there's tidbits here and there. And I had asked through the Facebook group on what the kind of allowed, what the guidelines were for adapting those, and they directed me to the terms and conditions. But I actually, it wasn't very clear to me, so I thought I had heard on other calls like this that you have talked about kind of adapting things to fit your program, but when I looked at the terms and conditions, I wasn't getting that sense. So I wanted to find out what those guidelines are.
Great. So your question is, what are the guidelines when it comes to taking the handouts and the training and adapting them so that they're more applicable to what it is that you're offering to clients, which in your case is more around stress and energy?
Correct.
Great. So I want to check in with Stacey is, I think, not with us. So here, I have to tell you. Wait, no, you are. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So from my understanding, now, one thing I will say about these kinds of questions is that we don't necessarily know the final answer. So we're not the greatest resource on things like this. But I believe, and I would ask you to post in the Facebook page, so your Facebook page, so everyone can see the answer, to get confirmation that you can use the handouts. They're given to you in PDF and Word documents because
Correct.
We want you to be able to put your own stamp on them, whether that's your branding or logo or you want to be able to adjust them or edit them. They're meant to be a tool for you to use in any way you like.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you can always just double check with our team either on the Facebook page or an email, but I'm 99% sure that that's the case.
Okay, thank you. That was the impression that I've gotten, but trying to read kind of the legalese of terms and conditions wasn't making it very clear to me.
Yeah, legalese is never very clear, but I really appreciate your conscientiousness about that.
So, thank you very much.
Thank you, and congratulations. Yeah. The first of many.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Stacey, I'm thinking we might want to check out some of the emailed questions that were sent to see if there's anything.
Yeah. I'm just opening those now, too.
Oh, okay. Well, this is a great one for you, I think. So Alyssa Dayton, she's in the November class from 2015, asked, she said, to be an effective coach, I understand I have to take my own challenges in personal life and set it aside when I'm working with a client, but what happens when a client speaks of something in their life that hits a nerve or resonates with a challenge in my own life, like, she used an example of her unhealthy husband and his effect on her, and that reminded her of her boyfriend and his unhealthy choices. And so how do you, as a coach, prevent yourself from taking other people's issues on or becoming triggered in the session or all of a sudden telling the client your story about the similar situation if you do have a similar situation?
What a great question. I mean, for the first thing that comes to mind is why it's so important to have a coach, that you are continually working on yourself, you can only take your clients as far as you yourself are willing to go. So you're likely not going to transcend something with a client or facilitate something for the client that you yourself haven't experienced. Now, that doesn't mean, like, let's say if I'm addicted to sugar and I do struggle with sugar still, that I couldn't help someone with the knowledge that I have. But when it comes to some emotional issues that are really sensitive to the heart, then we can end up getting low resourced in the moment or flustered, and we're no longer leading the session. We're no longer holding the container. It starts to become flimsy. And sometimes what can even happen is that the client will notice your instability and then start caretaking you, like, oh, I'm so sorry that I'm, right? So we have to just be aware, and that might actually happen to you. If it does, it doesn't mean you're an incompetent coach or that you shouldn't be coaching. It's like, let's just recognize that that stirred something. And for a moment, just notice that a lot's coming up for you. It can happen. And maybe you won't be on your best game that day. It's totally possible. But you'll take from that session that you have some stuff to work on. Now, what do you do? How do you pull yourself out if that starts to be happening? Is I would probably do some deep breathing with the client. Is just say, wow, a lot is coming up. I'm so sorry that you have been having that experience. It sounds really hard. Let's do some deep breaths together, which is part of the 90-day program. I can't remember what session it is right now, but it's like around session 8 or something that we do some really deep breathing, and I would actually take it right there so that it's a couple minutes of maybe even 2 minutes of deep breath together.
It's session 7.
Session 7.
Yeah,
because what that does is it resets the parasympathetic nervous system. You have a sympathetic nervous system and a parasympathetic nervous system. These are both part of the autonomic nervous system, the two branches of it. And the sympathetic is when we go into a stress state, the fight, freeze, or flight mode. And there's a lot more adrenaline in the system. We feel a sense of panic and despair, a hopelessness, terrified, just right, really destabilized. Parasympathetic is when you feel more rested, calm. This is the place where healing happens in the parasympathetic nervous system, is that you're because your body can't heal in a stress state. When we're in a stress state, the body is ready to fight. So that doesn't make sense. Like, healing doesn't happen in a fight state. Healing happens in a rest state. So we go back to the parasympathetic. And this will help the client do something called step back. Another word for that is dissociate. So it's really hard to get perspective on any situation when we're in the trigger state. We're in it, right? It's like, But if we step back and we can look at it from afar, then we can start to get some perspective. So what I would do is say, wow, this is really big. I notice a lot is coming up for you in this moment. Let's take a few deep breaths and go into your two-minute breaths. Now, once you get into that parasympathetic state, both of you are a little bit more resourced and calm. Feel, as you as the coach, feel your feet on the ground. Feel your spine tall. Feel yourself just actually like grounding in your energy. And one of the ways to do that is to imagine a cord through your spine down into the earth, or through your center line, through your feet, all the way down into the earth, so that you're feeling the gravitational pull actually hold you up, kind of like a tree. You know, isn't it amazing that a tree or even a sunflower has such a long, skinny stalk, but it's sturdy. It stands up So we want to get into that embodied place of feeling really, really sturdy. And if your own stuff is coming up, then basically almost put it into a ball. Imagine that all of your own stuff, your own story, your own traumatic events are put into a ball, and imagine tossing that ball off to the side. This doesn't mean that we're negating it, avoiding it, or anything like that. It just means that we're putting, like, a pause over there so that we can bring ourselves back into full presence and appreciative listening of the person in front of us. So it's not about us. It's more about we're holding a space for this other and their transformation. What that also means is, like, you put a little bookmark on it so that you can work on that with your coach later. But for this moment, what we're trying to do is just to get the person more resourced than they were when they were in the trigger. We're not going to try and dismantle it and try to understand what their childhood trauma was and who was there. That is not the work that we're doing in at this stage of coaching. But you can allow yourself to be with another as they experience strong emotions. And you will, through experience, develop your capacity for this. So as they get into that parasympathetic, now we can say, I want you to take a step back. You can even have your client take a physical step back. And maybe they even take several steps back if they're on a cell phone versus a tethered phone. If they can, ask them to just take as many physical steps back as they can so that we change positions. If you experience stuckness in a physical place, like, you know, where we're sitting, it's always great to move the client. And this is where this becomes more of an embodied, integrated, I guess, format for coaching. This is like kind of a little ninja thing that Carrie and I do all the time. Because if you want to change the emotion, you change the motion, right? When you move your body, things will start to move instead of stagnate, and it will start to feel different. So I'd have my client take a step back away from the trigger and let that be further. And now this is the step back of the transformational coaching method. Is actually our first step. It's called step back, so that you can get distance from the trigger and be able to look at it from getting altitude or from a dissociated perspective. And this helps it feel less charged. And from that place, then it could say, what would you most like me to know about that? So it doesn't become about content and story and, like, when I was 5 years old, my uncle came, you know, it's like, whoa, right? We're not quite there yet. So what I would say, without going into the story of it, what would you most like me to know about that? And then turning it around into, and what would you like to be feeling in this moment? Well, I would like to be feeling that I'm safe, right? I'd like to be feeling that it's okay to be me and still be loved. They'll say something in that realm, and then you can go, great. So this is what I'm going to share with you right now, just a little of an advanced technique. And then, Carrie, I'm curious to hear what you would have to say on this too. This is a little advanced, but I think you all can handle it. It's something that you can bring into your skills lab and just experiment with. Are you going to be a perfect master at this when you first start? No. But it's something to play with and try. So you can ask, tell me about a time that you have felt certain or safe, right? And it could be like, for example, you can even give them an example. Like, I felt really safe when I took a shower this morning, or when I put a piece of toast in the toaster. And that I was trusting that it would come out right. It was like, it can be the most simple, simple thing. I felt safe when I washed my clothes, that they wouldn't be ruined at the end of it. So it doesn't really matter what the example is. It's actually something just light and easy for them to access. And say, great. Now go ahead and
take those feelings of safety, bring that into your body now, and let's just go ahead and continue to breathe, knowing that the events of the past are complete. And in this moment, with each breath, you can begin to allow yourself to be here now. The important thing about this is to not go into big content and story about what happened to you and what did your husband do. And we're not therapists, so just be aware of when it's getting into like a whole bunch of content and story and bring them back into that parasympathetic. Deep breath. What would you like me to know about that, and what would you like to be experiencing now? Carrie, would you? Oh, and then,
yeah.
And then lastly, just to also have your own coach, because one of the beauties of being a coach is that it's the greatest personal growth journey of your life. You will attract the clients who mirror what you most need to hear or work on for yourself. And that's why this is such an extraordinary career, because it's a personal growth journey. Like, you get paid to become your best self and do your own healing. Your clients are also, like, they're externalized mirrors of what's going on internally for you. So it's sort of like this cyclical thing.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's great about that is whether you have a coach or you're like buddies with someone in the training, it's ultimately creating a container for your challenges. In other words, when you do get triggered by things or when you do have something going on in your life, you know you have a place to take that for discussion. And that place then does not have to be in the session with the client. It never should be. But that even if you're sitting with the client in the moment and they're telling you, like, the exact story that's happening in your life, you can go, yep, I'm going to be talking about that. Like, you can say inside, like, okay, I'm taking that to my buddy, my coach, my whoever. And then in that moment, you can be there for the client. I would also just say one quick thing, Stacey, about the question of knowing when you're veering into the territory of therapy, because I think it's particularly scary. I know when I first started coaching, it's like, well, ugh. So now you gave a great tool for if someone's upset, how to be with their emotion. That was a really great, simple tool without having to do anything about it, but simply just like, you know, witness and then get back into the parasympathetic nervous system. And then if you're in a situation with a client and you go, wow, this person's starting to tell me about some pretty serious stuff, do you then... like, when do you know you're dipping into therapy and when do you refer your client or say, like, hey, you know, I think it would be really useful if you were to be working with a therapist along with our coaching? Because I know it's a concern.
Yeah, I think there's actually a new handout created. I don't know if it's been uploaded yet, but in the difference between coaching and therapy. So that is coming. We'll have to check on that where that can be found, because I think that will be really useful. Yeah, you know, therapists will go into why we are the way we are and a whole lot of content. And what you'll find with TCM is that you can do a lot of deep healing work even without the content and story.
Now, that's something I've never learned before. Like, because we're also familiar with the, like, therapy. Like, oh, I have to tell you the story about all the different things that happened before anything can change. And what's amazing is at TCM that you don't have to do that. It's like,
yeah.
Things can change regardless. Like, it's actually sometimes better that you don't tell the story. I find that fascinating. Did I lose you? Might have lost Stacey. Okay, well, let's go back to our live calls, and let's go into last four digits 0981.
Hello.
Hi.
Give 1 second, sorry. I'm walking out.
No problem.
Okay, so I am in the July class. And
I didn't catch your name. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, so you're in the July class. I'm sorry.
Yes. Pillar one, week two. We just started. And I actually did my week two skills lab already, so that was very interesting.
In a good way or a bad way?
Yes. No, it was in a good way. It's funny because when I was talking to my partner, I was like, I go to a Reiki healing touch person. And she was so funny because she's like, you need to start looking into your blood type diet. She's like, I can just sense from your body, like, you need to start looking at a blood, like, what your blood type is and the diet that goes along with it. And then we start talking about it. And I'm like, this is so funny that it got brought back to me. Like, I'm a strong believer of the universe. And I'm like, kind of slapping me in the face, like, hey,
yeah,
don't forget about me kind of thing. So.
That's great. That is great. So obviously then what's going well in your self-care is that you are putting some attention in a place where the universe has been like tapping you on the shoulder.
Yes. And I feel like, again, I'm a strong believer in the universe, and I feel like everything, like me being here doing this class, like everything is just coming forward. And it's so accepting, and everything is, like, flowing so well. I can't even describe the excitement that I have that I finally feel like everything's okay. Like, it's going to work out. I don't know how, but I just feel it. It's just going to work out. Like, I know it's going to be okay. So I'm, like, not even worried about it, which is an amazing feeling to not worry about jumping ship from a career, you know, knowing that financially I'll be stable and all that good stuff, and just knowing that it'll take care of itself kind of thing.
That's pretty exciting. Is that an unusual experience for you?
I would say a few years ago it would have been, and I probably would have freaked out and been like, I can't do this. Like, I need to know how it's going to work. And
yeah.
I feel like when I decided to sign up for the class, I felt like I had a spiritual awakening. And from that point, like, I'm just, like, it's, I just, I have a feeling that I know it's just going to work, and I do not have to sit here and try to control it. Like, I don't have to sit here and stress about how it's going to work, where the money is going to come from, you know, how am I going to fit it in with my schedule, because I do have a 10-month-old daughter. So, I mean, that's just busy in itself, just having a kid, you know,
totally.
And then I'm like, school, and then I want to go to the live event. I'm like, how am I going to coordinate this? It's during the week. And, you know, I'm just letting it go. And I'm like manifesting on it. I'm like, this is what's going to happen. And the universe is going to throw it in my face and saying, this is how it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yep.
So, very exciting.
That's great. That's fantastic. And how can we support you in that today or in anything you might need?
I mean, honestly, I don't know, like, everything's great. I think I did have a question about some things that I'm sure we're going to get in the future because it's only the second week. But, I mean, I had a question about the website and if we would be able to see, like, an example website, just because I'm so curious to see what that would look like. But, I mean, other than that, I just, everyone that I've talked to in the group, like, I feel so supported. Like, I tell everyone, like, what my goal is, what my dream is. And I don't know, everyone's just super supportive. And every single person that I've talked to, we've connected on some aspect of it because we're in the same thing or we want to do, like, similar things. And I'm like, I want to get where you are or they want to get where I am. And it's like we're all connecting together to give each other that step to help each other out. That makes sense.
I'm touched by what you're saying because that's, I feel like, an important
component of the community we want to create, which is one in which we're all supporting each other and that a win for one is a win for all. And a rising tide lifts all boats, and that we're here to see the version of our, you know, these other students and ourselves that we want to become and to hold that for people. And that when they get it, to applaud and cheer. And I think sometimes it's not like, oh, every other community, people are jerks. That's not what I mean. But I have seen there's just times when I've been in different groups personally where some people are supportive but not totally, and there's like a little competitive, and that's fine, except we really want to, like, if we were to take, because you are into the universal stuff, so if we were to assume that everyone here is a version of ourselves and a mirror of ourselves, then
gosh.
What?
Okay, so I had four partners for the first doula, and the first and the third person that I talked to, we just like vibed really extremely well in the situation. And I was like, I feel like that we are an exact mirror of ourselves, but it's also like, at one point of time, like, I'm you. Like, you're everything, but you don't know that. Does that make sense? Like, at one point, I'm doing what you're doing right now, and I'm being you. And at another point, you were being me in my shoes, and we've all kind of done a little bit of everything. Does that make sense?
I think it totally makes sense. I do.
Okay, good. I'm glad you get it.
I totally think it makes sense, and I think when we consider other people in that way, like that you are an extension of myself, that we treat people really lovingly and compassionately, and then it's like, you know, somebody in the training goes out and gets 20 clients, and instead of being like, ugh, what did you do, or like, how did she do that, that's not really possible, like, instead of cutting her down in some way, we can instead go, that's amazing. Oh, my gosh. And know that person's holding out a possibility for the rest of us as well, and to support them in that. And I think the other thing, too, is that when you're in a group training, everyone's, you know, I feel that I can speak to you in this way, Lauren, but everyone's on a different soul journey, you know, and they're in different places on that journey. So what we've seen over the years is that things unfold for different people at different times, and that there's there's no way to control that. You wouldn't even want to control that. It seems like it would be nice if we could, but it really wouldn't. And that it really, things are unfolding in the time that they are supposed to be for every single person. So some people in the training pop really fast and they're out of the gate and they're speeding along and it seems like, oh my gosh, they're doing everything amazingly. And then other people are like, gosh, I'm struggling and having a hard time. You can look at the example of Stacey and I. She came out of our initial training just like gangbusters, 0 to 72 clients in 10 months. That was amazing, right? That's amazing. Like, nobody had done that before, and I don't know if anybody's done it since. I don't know. Maybe they have. But it was amazing, and that was not my journey. I was much more of a slow burn. Like, I had to struggle for a couple of years. I had to really come up against my, like, stubbornness and my resistance to accepting what it meant to be in a business for myself and what that meant in terms of who I was and my level of responsibility and what that meant in relation to me being an artist or not. So, and yet, here Stacey and I together, 11 years later.
And I think you guys are an awesome combo. And I was talking to my friends and family, and they don't necessarily get it, but that's okay because I'm a weird duck and I have all these crazy out there, out of the box dreams that I want to do. And I love that you guys kind of come from two different backgrounds and had two different experiences, because it brings everyone together. You know, either one person might relate to you more for one person might really stick for it. All kind of just, I mean, it's truly for everyone. And I think, I mean, again, this is 2 weeks in, but I want to thank you for the materials you put together, how you do it, and everything that you brought. Because I know I was supposed to be here in this class meeting all these people specifically in the July class, and I think that's great. But you guys have truly put together an amazing program. And I want to take the graduate program and any other classes you guys offer. But seriously, I just wanted to say thank you because it's amazing and don't ever stop.
Thank you, Lauren. Well, I know who to call if I'm having a rough day. You're like, Lauren. No, I'm kidding. We are really grateful for that. Thank you so much, Lauren. And for all of you, I mean, the thing about it is that if we hadn't gone through all of the challenges and struggles that we had gone through, we couldn't have created this course. So just keeping in mind for yourself, and this so relates back to the Oracle card that we picked this morning, which was that you're on a place in the journey that there's a lot of unknown and uncertainty, and trusting that the muscles that need to be built for your future are being built now, and that you will arrive where you are meant to arrive as long as you keep going. And I just really, really grateful for that message. And I wanted to say, Lauren, for the websites and seeing examples, yes, you definitely can. There are a bunch of examples of student sites. I am not exactly sure, however. Like, I don't know an exact link to send you to. Let me take a look. Hold on 1 second. I know you can always email our support team and support at healthcoachinstitute.com and say, hey, I'd love to see some examples of the student sites, and they can send those to you. I'm just looking to see on CoachLeads itself if there are examples. I know there are examples because we just showed a bunch of them last week. All right, yeah. So go ahead and email support at healthcoachinstitute.com. And they'll be able to direct you to where you can see all of those sample sites. And I think that you'll really be delighted. Some of them are just lovely. All right. Let's pop over to the webcast. We need to give the webcast piece some love. All right. Let's see. So want to just share with you for any, like, logistical questions, seeing a couple on here, like whether it's the times or the office hours. Thank you for that question, Christy. Or Teresa, she was asking about HCI Connect for the technologically challenged. And I totally appreciate, I can imagine, especially when you're starting a new training, there's all kinds of sort of things and systems to get to know. And I would share that Stacey and I really are the last people. We know very little about those kinds of things. Our team kind of keeps us in a box. So when it comes to those kinds of answers, it really is best to direct them to our support team. Just shoot them an email or tag them on the Facebook page. Email is support at Health Coach Institute, of course, and they can really help you with those pieces, and definitely encourage you to do that because I want to make sure that you get the answers that you need to get so that you can move forward in the training in a way that you feel, you know, comfortable and excited with. So question from Louise Peel in Greenfield. Louise, I don't know if you're still on the call. I see that getting paid is high in priority for you, that you are a retiring PNP. And I'm assuming that's a pediatric nurse practitioner, but Louise, you tell me. So she has years of experience with children and families of children and young adults, adolescents, and her proposed name is Hand-in-Hand Transitions, but the hot hook is not clear yet, and she wants to work with parents of young children and adolescents and young adults in transitioning to daycare, into school, into college, into life, and would like my input. So my feeling on that, Louise, and I'm not sure where you are in the training, but
I'm guessing pillar four you've been through if you're talking about hot hooks. So my feeling is that I think that that's great. You mentioned that the kids that you work with have exceptionalities, and I'm not quite sure what you mean by that. So if you're on the phone, I'd love to talk to you live. If you would type in and write in your last four digits of your phone number so I can unmute you. Because ultimately, I think transitions are certainly challenging. I mean, my gosh, my baby's only 9 months old, and it's just a transition from one sometimes day to the next is difficult, let alone some of these others. That being said, I would want to get more specific with you in terms of what kind of children and what kind of transitions. I think that you have a ton of knowledge and experience, and I just want to be able to focus it into what we call the difference between a $1 problem and a $1,000 problem, like something that really, really is a need for parents that they're already investing in, and make sure that it's articulated that way. So it doesn't seem like, gee, it'd be great to have that help, but I don't really need it now. So, Louise, if you're still on, if you would write in your last four digits of your phone number so I can talk with you live, or type in and let me know any specifics that might help us answer your question. Oh my goodness, this is a great question and one I've not heard before. From Morgan, how do we differentiate our health coaching from that of an MLM health coach, as they call themselves? I don't want people to think I'm trying to sell them shakes. Yeah, totally. Stacey, have you ever heard that question before?
I don't know if I've heard that specific question, but this is the one.
I just missed the last word you said.
I just said it's a great question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. First of all, I have to tell you, it's news to me. I didn't know that there were MLM health coaches. That's something I wasn't aware of. I think that you, how would I answer this? First of all, just making sure that you understand that nothing that we are teaching or that we are involved with has anything to do with an MLM. There is nothing wrong with MLMs, but it's not our business model or part of our business model. We really don't discuss it much, actually, which is why Stacey and I are both like, wow, it's never been asked before. So what we are teaching at BHC is, and what you know, what you've invested in, is a skill set. That is not reliant on selling any kind of product. You're selling a service, essentially. So I don't know that you'll have to differentiate your health coaching. I'm wondering if there's a specific person or group of people that you're concerned about. So, Morgan, if you're still on, if you would write in just a little bit more clarification of what your specific concern is, or are you just worried in general that anytime you tell someone that you're a health coach, they're going to think that you're trying to sell them vitamins, which, you know. Okay. Question from Vanessa. Just so you know, when you guys are on office hours to unmute, you press star 2. Actually, it doesn't unmute you. It raises your hand. And then Stacey and I unmute any raised hands. Nicole, welcome. She said, I'm in the first pillar on week 2, and I'm taking the first step to declutter, and it has helped me start fresh. Ugh, decluttering is the best. Thank you so much, Tanya. Robinson said I've been taking care of myself because of a terrible health scare, and since this journey, I've been led to this education and finally feel that I am where I'm meant to be. Thank you. I love everything I'm learning. It's wonderful. Cecilia, I think I can answer this logistics question, that one of the Skills Labs requirements is to post a comment on Facebook, and she's saying, I haven't done that yet. Can I still do it? Sure. Absolutely. Jane in Columbus is in week 2, pillar 1, and what's going well in self-care for her is that she's learning how to care for herself She's been a caregiver for the last 9 years. So this is a sea change, isn't it, Jane, of taking all of that wonderful care you've given to others and now directing it to yourself. I think it's going to be a wonderful experience. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and give some time for people to answer on the webcast here and pop over to live call. Let's go to last four digits, 3598.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, it's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very excited. I'll tell you that.
Great. What are you excited about?
Well, this has been a long time coming for me. It has been, I'm a stay-at-home mom for 18 years now, about that.
Wow.
Yep. And it's been an incredible journey raising my kids, but I think, you know, I think that was the Glenda who spoke earlier. I think that she was my partner for week one. I'm on pillar one, week two right now.
Great.
So she and I both had a lot of things in common, and we had a great talk. And I think what has come up for me is I have been a giver for so long, like Glenda said, give, give, give. And it's been great, but it's like I forgot who I was along the way. And I think it's pretty common with, you know, a lot of friends in my world and moms in my world. We're all kind of in the same position, like, well, what are we going to do now? Our kids are growing up. We feel the empty nest syndrome coming on, and who the hell am I now, you know? So I think how this all started for me was I lost my mom to cancer when she was 58, very, very young. And it threw me into a very dark place, and it took me a long time to get through that. And I was getting married and having kids, and I think I put that all on the back burner. So I really never quite dealt with her death, and I ended up throwing myself into the wellness world, and I couldn't get enough of it. I learned how to tune into mind-body connection. I really wanted to learn how food was your medicine and how it can heal your body. And I just kind of threw myself into this world for the past 15 years, you know, dabbling in things here and there. But nothing, it was always for other people and helping out with events and things. And it was never something for me. And it's just been a journey of trying to find what it is I was meant to do. And people would call me all the time and say, you know, what is it that you're putting in your smoothie every day that gives you so much energy, that you have so much energy all day long? And, you know, a lot of my friends call me weekly. What is it you put in there? Or what is it that, you know, you're doing for lunch that's giving you so much energy? And I think, like, through the years I've said, you know, maybe I have something in me that is helpful for others. And I really enjoy telling them and helping them. And I think it just kind of, after all these things, the journey is taking me to HCI, and it feels so right to me in every way and resonates with me, and it's super exciting for me.
Thank you for sharing that. Stacey, I'm often in awe of how it has crossed. Just hearing your story, Lisa, of the past, you know, 18 years and dealing with a shift in your identity, raising your kids, getting married, losing your mom, diving into this knowledge, and then here we are now intersecting in this beautiful moment where it feels like a turning point for you.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a crossroads almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been an emotional one. You know, it's interesting because I know a lot of friends who graduated from IIN. I live in Los Angeles, and I am surrounded by this whole world every day. I go to wellness events all the time, and I have a lot of friends who are nutritionists, and I helped produce some wellness events with a partner of mine a couple of years ago. And it's you know, a lot of these friends of mine have said they graduated from IIN and they're kind of like, I have no idea what to do now with this. And, you know, I almost signed on for that course, and my sister-in-law went through it and said, you know, I learned a lot, but now I'm kind of stuck in this position where I don't know what to do now. And, you know, it was them that really got me focused on, I was Googling like crazy. All right, I know I'm going to do this, but I just don't know where I'm going to end up. And the minute I found you guys, I mean, you girls are awesome. I just love your energy and how you make this so simple. It just like instantly clicked for me. And it just, you make it easy to learn. And I instantly just was attracted to this entire business model. I loved it.
Wow, thank you so much.
Yeah, Lisa, I have to say I really appreciate what you're saying, and that was definitely my experience as well, similar to your friends, and why I was like, but I should know what I'm doing, but I don't know what I'm doing, but I should know what I'm doing, but I don't know what I'm doing. And I had that conversation with myself for a couple of years, where I stayed there,
yeah.
Like, I'm not having that conversation. I'm just doing the work. I think what we did want to focus on was practical, simple nuts and bolts. What do you need to know for after? Because that's the toughest. That's the toughest part, really.
Yeah, for me, I honestly know. Like, you know, another caller said she just felt comfortable knowing that it was all going to work out, and I feel that same way. I feel like the universe, when you figure out what it is you want to do, I feel like it helps you at that moment, and I feel like in so many ways it has led me to HCI, and I just feel like it's going to all work out. And I already have a friend of mine who, she comes over quite a bit, and she keeps talking to me about her ice cream eating binge every night. And it's funny that you brought that up in one of the videos, because I was like, oh my God, that's exactly what it is with my friend. And I knew I'm going to be able to help her. And she said, I really think that you're going to be able to help me with this. I know you're just starting in this class, but if you want me to be your first client, I'm here for you, and I just feel like it's going to work. So that was pretty cool.
Wow, so you already got your first practice client, and me too.
It's like, that was easy.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So honestly, I just feel like the universe is like, I'm talking to just not only myself, but everybody out there. We're all in the same boat. And I know there's a lot of fear, because I have it too, and it's normal and it's all new and I've been out of it for so long. But I also feel, you know, I'm sure everyone else is feeling the same. And that's a good feeling, to be among people who are like-minded and feeling fearful and what am I going to do and what's going to happen. And it just, the only thing I can say is I just think it's all going to work out. It always does, and we're going to help a lot of people, and it's a great feeling.
I agree with you, and I would say two things to that, Lisa. One is that I think the feeling of knowing it's going to work out is coming from the sense that when you look, I could be wrong about this, but what we are hoping for is when you look at our training and go, like, there is a plan. This is not just learn a lot and then go be on your own and try and figure it out. This is like,
right,
here, really detailed, here is what the reality of life as a health coach is, and how do you create that in a successful way for yourself. And the second thing you mentioned is like being with like-minded people. That is it. It is so amazing. And one of the reasons why I would strongly encourage all of you to use the benefit of the free ticket that you all have to HCI Live in San Diego, sort of your neighborhood, not really.
I just bought my tickets. I just did. It's very good. I'm so excited to come. I just bought them.
Oh, well, and apparently this resort looks like it's gorgeous. I'm so excited. Getting in the, you know, it's one thing when you are at home and it takes enormous courage to get on the phone and say, yes, I'm doing it, and like make the investment, like enormous courage and faith. And then when you get in the room with the people live, it's when there is going to be some level of fear and nervousness all along the way. Like, this is a new experience. But I'll tell you, the amount that settles down and calms in the room, you sort of realize, like, this is not just a random internet thing. These are, like, actual people who I've talked to on the Skills Lab and I'm hugging right now. And we have similar stories and similar passions. And we're supporting each other. And we are drawing forward the best version of ourselves together so that we can do that for the people in our lives. It's really, really magical. And not everybody can make it, and I understand. I mean, there are people all over the world and there are things going on. At the same time, I would say for me, one of the turning points in my career as a coach was going to live trainings regularly, because it's getting out of your regular environment.
Yeah,
getting into another place where you have a different perspective, like Stacey was saying earlier, if you want to change the emotion, change the motion, like you're just moving to a different place for a little bit. And allowing yourself to really seep into what's asking to come forward in you.
For sure.
And to be given not only the space and encouragement for that to occur, but the actual, like, all right, well, now what are the nuts and bolts of actually making this happen?
Sure.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to meet you. You'll have to come up and say hello. And I think one of the things that you all will find is that Stacey and I have to, it's not like we can hang out at every break or anything, but we're pretty darn accessible. And I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait to meet all of you and hug you, because we know together at our core that there's a journey that we're all on and work that we're here to do, that is not only going to benefit us, but benefit so many people, and that's worthwhile work. And to be together in that live is really, really powerful. You see, I don't even know what, I feel like I knew the seat deposit. I think the seat deposit link seems to be, if Lisa got her ticket, then it's somewhere. Oh, I see. So it's probably in your members' areas and your LMS. And of course, if you have any challenges with finding that, I think, let's see, is it about, it's on the About HCI page too? I don't know. You may have a special link. This is why Stacey and I should never be answering logistics questions. So we're not getting very far with it. But I just want to say thank you so much to Lisa for that phenomenal share. All right, let me pop back to the Q&A and just see if we heard back from.
I believe, Carrie, that there might be a tab on the LMS that's basically in your members area that would probably be for the event seat deposit page.
Yeah, great. Great question from Vanessa on the webcast page. Vanessa Sardi in St. Petersburg. She said, as a nutritionist, how can I distinguish myself as a health coach versus a nutrition coach? Right now, people see me as a nutritionist, but I want them to know that I'm more than that. That is such an outstanding question. We are definitely going to cover that in detail in Pillar 4. But Vanessa, if you're on the phone, if you could type in your last four digits of your phone number, because I'd love to talk with you about that. Just let me know. If you type them in, then I'll know who to unmute. Let me check, because there is definitely a way to do that, and a way to start, especially for anyone who's shifting out of one role into another. For Vanessa, there's a lot more nuance. Some people may be shifting from a completely different career into health coaching, but there definitely is always a way to describe what it is you're doing and why in a way that's compelling and engaging and stirs curiosity and people want to move deeper into a conversation with you. Okay. Oh, Melicia is having a great question about the event, Melicia in Bethlehem. So if you have never been to a live event with us before, one of the things you're going to notice when you go to reserve your seat deposit is that there's a $97 seat deposit. And you might go, wait a minute, I thought this ticket was free. Why are you charging me $97? Like, there's, you know, that might feel weird, like, oh, my gosh, do they have some kind of odd hidden charge? And is there any other odd hidden charge I need to know about? So the seat deposit is there because we only have a certain number of seats in the room. And so our event planner and the hotel, they need to have a specific count. When you arrive at the event, you go to a registration table. You tell our team your name, they hand you a badge, and they hand you a check for $97. So the ticket is free. It's like the $97 is like holding your place, and then when you arrive to the event, you're given that money, $97, back to you in a check. If for some reason you were to not come to the event and you didn't give the right amount of notice, then you would forfeit your state deposit. I think that's within 30 days of the event, but check with our team to make sure. So the seat deposit is really there because there's so many logistics involved in the live event and hotel space and seating and materials and making sure we have the right number of things for the right number of people. That's why we have that in place. And then when you arrive, you get that check back.
Yeah, I just want to say on that, like, materials, because we do print an amazing playbook that they're going to get to take home. The materials are beautiful, and like, it's, there's so many templates in there that you're going to want to have, and of course those have an expense for us that are all included in your tuition, but having the seat deposit helps us know how many different so that we don't have waste. So it's really helpful for us. And again, like Carrie said, you'll get that $97 back as soon as you walk into the event.
Yeah, and in case you'd be worried, like, are there any other hidden charges I need to know about? No. The only other thing that you would be paying for is travel and food, but there's no other, like, surprise kind of thing going on. All right, let's see. I see someone on the webcast typed in the last four digits, 4905, but I'm not actually seeing that on the phone list here. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, for some reason not seeing that. Oh, okay. So Lois typed in again, and she said what the previous question is referring to is the Take Shape for Life company that sells Medifast products. She has a friend that recently joined the company, and they call their distributors health coaches. Wow. She had to go through some specific training and take a test to be a certified health coach. The question that was asked previously is a really good one, and I would like to know the answer as well. Oops, I'm not sure what that was. Okay, so here's the thing. If someone is calling themselves a certified health coach and what they're really doing is selling shakes, then that's going to become really apparent as someone when someone talks to them and someone talks to you. So the way that we train you to invite clients into a conversation to even decide should they become a client, it's a prospective client, and then invite someone into your program, it's going to be very, very clear in the difference between the language you use, the questions you're answering, the way you talk about your program, very different. You can also share with people if there's a concern, if someone says, do I have to buy a new product? Nope. You know, is this an MLM? No, it's not. I've actually never been asked that, but I also, you know, one of the reasons why it's a good idea to have a regulation in place for health coaches is like for that, Stacey. I mean, it's the one thing to have a Wild West and have that be nice for a while for health coaches in terms of accreditation and legislation and all that stuff, but like that kind of stuff is so skeevy. So yeah, ultimately, Lewis, what you would want to do is just basically share with the person that you're talking to if they ask you about that. And you don't need to offer this if they don't ask, but say like, yeah, no, that's a different kind of service that involves products, and I do something a little bit different. And then you would share with them something we call your hot hook, and then you would invite them into something we call the closing the deal conversation, which is essentially a coaching conversation. It's not closing the deal. It's just a coaching conversation to decide, is this person a right fit for you? Are you a right fit for that person? And if the answer is yes, then you invite them to become a client. If the answer is no, you say, thank you for this wonderful conversation. Have a wonderful life. I wish you well. And that's it. Is there anything else you'd say about that, Stacey? I feel like that's how I would handle it.
Yeah, I think that's super practical.
Yeah. All right, let me go back to our live call. Oh, I see.
And I guess another thing that I would add, Carrie, is just that supplements do have their right place. They can accelerate some of the deficiencies in the body by filling them in, but I don't think anyone wants to take supplements forever. So at the end of your supplementation, you're still going to need to change some habits. So I'd probably bring it back to that a little bit of just like, yeah, it's a bit of a Band-Aid. It can assist the body's healing, and underneath there still is lifestyle choices and how we tune into our body's feedback systems, like what your body tells you about symptomology that is time to make changes and how you evolve with those changes. So I think a health coach, the way that we're teaching you and positioning it is to get to those underlying feedback mechanisms that the body is trying to communicate when you have bloating or gas or acid reflux or indigestion. Those are all signs that the body is ready for change to function optimally.
Yeah, that's really nice. Okay, Vanessa, I think I found you. I think I unmuted you, did I?
Are you there?
If you're muted, you can press *7 to talk. I think I see you on a web call, Vanessa. Maybe that's why something's a little funky. I don't know. I'll give it one more second here. Quick question from Nicole on the webcast. What are the training start times and end times in San Diego? We start every day at 9, and then we end the training day at 5:30, but then the first night we have an amazing cocktail party. It's called Dress to Express, and we all dress up and drink and dance and have fun. We don't think about work or health coaching at all. We just have a good time. And then we go from 9 to 5:30 the second day, and then from 7:30 to about 9, we have a really special evening session called the Fireside Chat, and that's like most people tell us they feel like that's the best part of the entire event, where people ask, literally submit on index cards any question for Stacey and I that they want to ask about career, personal, any questions. And it gets to become like a kind of a fun, raunchy, like uncensored, it's not recorded, like it's just a place to kind of really like let our hair down and tell you what's for real about the questions that you ask us. And then on day 3, we also go from 9 to 5:30. And there is no evening event on day 3. All right, let me try. Vanessa in St. Petersburg, I see you, and you're unmuted. Did you press *7? Are you there? Let me try one more time. Okay, I unmuted you again. Are you there? Arg. Okay, so Vanessa, we can't talk live, that's okay. What we're basically going to help you do is start to articulate really the basic stuff in Pillar 4. So I'm not sure where you are in the training right now, but as soon as you get access to Pillar 4 and on any office hours upcoming and when you talk with your coach one-on-one, ultimately what you're going to go from is, I'm assuming, and I could be wrong here, but as a nutritionist, you may see clients for one appointment and then maybe you see them again, maybe you don't. But you're going to be switching into a program format that's going to have a very specific, we call it a big idea or a result. something that you're going to be taking people on a journey toward, and that's going to be different than seeing them just one time, maybe twice or maybe three times over the course of 4 months. You're going to be helping them accelerate their progress toward a specific goal in a specific period of time. And you can also, and I'm kind of going off the cuff here, so this may or may not be exactly what you'd want to say, but I can give you an example. But you can say that I've been a nutritionist for X amount of time. And one of the problems that I see when people leave my office is that they have a list of things to do and they don't necessarily do them. And that was driving me crazy and it was killing me because I knew that the steps on their list would get them the result they want, and I knew they just needed help doing it. So I decided to change the way I work. So working with me is going to be a little different than working with any other nutritionist. The way we do it is within the context of a program, and we utilize something called a health coaching to help you do what it is you know you're supposed to be doing, but you haven't necessarily been doing. So that would be like an example of how you would explain what it is that you do, and certainly there'd be a title to your program, there'd be a title to your closing the deal conversation. There are different components, 11 components actually, that we help you put in place to describe what you're doing so people can start to see you as something different than a nutritionist, but it's almost like we would position it as like a nutritionist, but better. You know what I mean? So we don't want to take away the fact that you're a nutritionist because it's great. It's just that you have even more to offer now that's going to help even more in a different way. And hopefully that gives you a sense of how we can help you start. Yeah, I'm so sorry, Vanessa. I don't know why you can't unmute either, but I'm hoping that this helps you get an idea of how this training is going to be able to start showing you how you differentiate and start making new invitations to clients. To work with you in this different way. And personally, Stacey, I don't know. I'll tell you what, I have seen a clinical nutritionist here in Chicago. If she had made that invitation to me, I would have been like, yes. Because the things that she was having me, it was a lot. It was a lot to do. And if I wasn't a health coach, I don't know if I could have done it on my own. So I think that you might see a real positive response, Vanessa, from your clients or patients. All right, so let's see if we have one more question. Let's see if we – Hannah Kleinfeld in the BHC November, she wrote in and asked, I loved Stacey's Kick the Sugar Habit talk in Pillar 4, Week 4. Stacey talked about the polarity of food, and I find this topic fascinating. Is there a particular book that you could recommend where I can read more about this? So for those of you who have not gotten to Pillar 4, what we do is we give you a scripted talk to do at different venues and organizations so that you can be in front of people and they can meet you and see you and hear you speak. And this is a talk that Stacey did in her health coaching practice. It was very, very effective, called Kick the Sugar Habit. And one of the topics in it is something called the polarity of food. And we don't talk about it in the main training. We talk about it in the talk. Of course, it's described in the talk, but if you want to learn more about it, you're essentially talking about food as energy. So the energetics of food. And one of the books that you can look up on Amazon is called The Energetics of Food. And Steve Gagné, G-A-G-N-E, is that how you say it? Is it Gagné? I don't know.
Yeah, Gagné. Steve Gagné.
Or Gagné, whatever. Sorry, Steve. I just saw the little symbol on the E and realized I was probably not saying anything correctly. So The Energetics of Food was written like in 2006, so it's not particularly new. But it's a really interesting reframe or way to think about and look at food. Based on, like, traditions of our ancestors. And it helps us understand how sometimes the energy of certain foods can create craving for other foods. So, for example, very simply said, if you have something super, super salty, you might want something super, super sweet. Or if you have something super, super sweet, you might want something super, super salty. Or if you have a really, really, really tense day, you might want to have a cocktail at night or a pint of ice cream or something that's going to loosen up the tension. Or if you're feeling like super spacey and ungrounded, you might want to have meat because it's going to ground you. So it's this idea of looking at food in that new way of energetics versus calories or macronutrients or something that can be a little boring for people. It's like they've sort of heard it before. And when you are doing a talk, you want to be able to share with people something they may not have heard or may not have thought about. So they get to have like an aha moment of like, oh, I never saw it in this way. And they can get, help them get excited and inspired about taking on this sort of new way of looking about, looking at food and thinking about how they eat and how they feel throughout the day. So it's a really, really powerful content piece in the talk for that reason. And so Energetics of Food by Steve Gagné, if you're fancy, and Gagné, if you're not, G-A-G-N-E, and it's on Amazon. It was written in 2006.
There's another one, too, that I would look up is Anne Marie Colvin. And I forget what the name of her book is. I don't know if you remember, Carrie, but she also talks a lot about five elements of food, which five element theory comes from traditional Chinese medicine. And my background was originally in Chinese medicine. So that's partly where the concept of polarities comes in. So Anne Marie Colvin is another one. And if you also look up the five elements of food.
The book is called Food and Healing. And I have to tell you, five elements, I never understood it. Maybe it was because I didn't have the background in Chinese medicine, but I was like, this is so completely confusing to me. But there are those of you who might read it and go, this makes total sense. This is amazing. But if you do read it and you're like, I don't get this at all, then don't feel bad about it. It won't stop you. All right. Another question from Alyssa in BHC November. Do you recommend subcontracting as a way to build business or get clients? I'm assuming that she means by subcontracting, like working for someone else, like a chiropractor or in a wellness center or a doctor. Is that what you think, Stacey?
I'm not sure. Maybe if she can add more. I know we're right at time here, but.
Yeah, you know what I would say about that? If your question, Melissa, is that you are wondering if you can work for other people, essentially, to build your business and get clients. Yeah, absolutely. I worked at a chiropractor's office in Los Angeles, and I loved it. It was great. So you can, and you don't have to. All right. So that was my very profound answer to your question. And as we complete here, I would just say for those of you who have their first office call today, congratulations. You have popped your office hours cherry. Yay! And we are officially on your way in the BHC journey. And for the rest of you who have been on office hours or listening to the recording, just want to share how much we appreciate your dedication, your commitment, your passion, your curiosity, your courage. Stacey and I create the container, but you really make the training what it is. And if you weren't showing up the way that you show up for yourself, to the recorded trainings, to the skills lab, to the live events, then this would not be the experience that we are all so enjoying. So I really want to appreciate you all. And remind you of our Oracle card today, which was the mystery, and remembering that we are sometimes in a place that's unknowable, and we only know what the next step is. So just take that next step that's in front of you and know that in the bigger picture, things really are being worked out, and that's not a trite dismissal. That's grounded in the idea that we have a practical plan for you. We have been in your shoes. We know what it's like to be professional coaches, what that means, what it takes, all the tools that you need, and we're here to share that with you. Thank you, everyone, for being on the office hours today. I really look forward to being back on with you, it looks like, on August 8th. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.